Israel has told residents of another 30 villages in southern Lebanon to leave if they want to stay safe. However, the UN's refugee agency has warned that almost all of the shelters for displaced people are now full. It has also become more difficult for people to leave the country after Israel bombed one of the main crossings with Syria. Footage from the border shows a deep crater spanning the entire width of the road. Meanwhile, in a rare appearance, Iran's supreme leader said it would not back down. Earlier this week, Iran fired almost 300 missiles at Israel. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei told a large crowd in Tehran that his allies around the region would keep fighting Israel.
We would do it at the right time and the right place, as we've done before. And if we're needed to do that again, we would do it again in the future.
Let's go to Beirut first of all this afternoon and our correspondent Fran McNulty. Fran, what's been happening in the Lebanese capital over the past few hours?
Over the past few minutes, Rachel, I can tell you several missile strikes have happened in the south of the city. We've seen them here. It was extraordinary. You had missile strikes, bombs landing, and almost at the same time, an aeroplane landing at Beirut airport. One airline flying in and out, continuing to do that, despite the bombing that's been happening. Across Lebanon, there have been extensive airstrikes throughout the afternoon and the morning as well. We've seen a sustained airstrike in South Lebanon. It's very difficult to report accurately on this, Rachel, because we are so far from it and gaining access to that area is extremely difficult. As you were saying, like the several villages further north have been told you need to clear out by the IDF, and that is seen by many as their intent to go in village by village and clear out any Hezbollah infrastructure that is there. They have been plagued by barrages of rockets for months now, up to 230 fired yesterday alone, and they want to eliminate that threat. That's what they say, and that's what this ground operation is about. But crucially, the area they've ordered evacuations in, effectively, go way beyond the UN peace line, and that is a cause of concern, and it speaks to how Israel has been dealing with the war both in Gaza and now this new front they've opened up in Lebanon.
There are, Fran, a limited number of ways to leave Lebanon, and one of those has now been cut off.
Yeah, this is the crossing at Masnah. This crossing is the main route between Beirut and Damascus. Tens upon tens of thousands of people have used that route to get out. It was bombed overnight, a massive crater in the ground. The Israeli army is saying the reason they bombed it was there was a tunnel beside this crossing, 3.5 kilometres long, which was being used to get arms into Lebanon. And the reality of this is that for people who are in Lebanon now, unless you have money, you are trapped, because it is impossible to book a commercial flight out of Beirut airport with one airline operating. And this morning we went to see a local marina where boats are charging up to $2,000 a head to get on a boat which will take you either to Cyprus or to Turkey, from where you can get a flight to wherever you need to get to safety. So the reality is people are now effectively trapped in Lebanon. They can't get out. And the consequence of that is you have tens of thousands of people who literally, Rachel, have nowhere to go. The streets and roads are lined with cars in which people are sleeping. We were at a beach this morning, which 1,000 to 1,500 people have been seeking shelter, being fed, water being provided by agencies, medical people coming in every couple of days. I can tell you that the sanitary situation there is really poor, and there is a concern that encampments like this that are sprouting up around Beirut in particular will become a serious humanitarian issue over the coming weeks and months.
And the UN warning this morning that the official centres for displaced people, they're now effectively full.
Oh, they're all full, and there aren't very many of them. So you have this situation where people are forced to sleep outside. Many of the agencies that are trying to work on the ground here, the NGOs, are pulling their hair out because it is very difficult. Mattresses, Rachel, as a very basic, you cannot get a mattress for love nor money in Beirut. They're just gone because houses are taking in as many people as they can and going out and buying mattresses. So very practical issues like that are arising. And we will see in the coming couple of days the aid agencies and NGOs that are working on the ground begin to issue appeals to get vital supplies like that in. That's how critical the situation is becoming, according to some.
As you've been saying, the strikes on Beirut have continued, and there has been speculation that Israel has killed another senior Hezbollah figure. Has that been confirmed?
It hasn't been confirmed as yet. There were reports on some Lebanese outlets this morning that Hesham Safieddine had been killed in this airstrike, which happened, Rachel, as we were on air on primetime last night. There was a huge explosion in the darkness behind us, very close to the airport in Beirut. I mean, the fireball rose into the sky, and the area is still smouldering at the moment. There's black smoke still coming from it. The suggestion is that there is a Hezbollah intelligence center there, and that's what was part of the strike. The thought that could also have been an arms dump. If they have managed to kill him, they've killed the man who would the would-be successor to Nasrallah, and it would be a huge moment for Israel if that was to be the case. I suspect if it was the case, Israel would have been in a position to confirm it very quickly. Remember, Nasrallah was many floors below ground when an airstrike killed him, and it was confirmed pretty quickly. But neither side have confirmed whether he is dead or alive.
A lot remains unclear today, Fran, and one of those things is really the fundamental question: how does this end?
That is the million-dollar question. And if you look at the war of words, which is taking place within the past 30 minutes, Rachel, between Israel and Iran, you would be concerned, and experts are concerned. Iran has effectively said, well, the foreign minister, Abbas Araghchi, arrived in here on a jet last night into a city which is being bombed. And what he said this afternoon after meeting with the caretaker prime minister here, he said, my being in Beirut as it is being bombed is an indication of the support we have for Lebanon. And also saying that basically they would support a ceasefire. The condition on which he said Iran would support a ceasefire is that there would be a ceasefire in Gaza and here in Lebanon. Now, few expect that to happen, but almost at the same time as he was saying that, Rachel, you had a very senior military commander in Iran saying that if Israel made what they called an in other words, striking Iran in some serious way, that they would target Israel's gas and energy infrastructure. Now, if that were to happen, and if this war was to escalate to that point, we are in a completely different space in the Middle East. And people are genuinely concerned about that here. There is very little prospect of this war ending in Lebanon anytime soon, given the investment in it so far from the Israeli side. But if it were to move to another stage between Iran and Israel, different space.
Fran McNulty in Beirut, thank you very much for that.